In the seasons of Christmas and Epiphany, we celebrate the Word made flesh, the Word of God, the truth of God, manifest in the flesh and revealed for the life of the world. The divine wisdom, the eternal power and love of God is shown to us in Jesus Christ, and is then proclaimed in his life, in his teaching, in his signs, and his wonders. God is manifest in Christ such that we might behold his glory, full of grace and truth, that we might share in heart and mind in the life of God himself, that as we heard at Christmas, we are indeed children by adoption, adoption by grace, and that as the ancient prayer puts it, we might be partakers of that grace, of that divinity which emptied himself to share in our humanity. We might then say that that is the focus of the Epiphany season, the Word of God manifest, the truth of God shown to us not in ideas or abstractions, but in the very flesh of the Son of God, such that our own lives would be changed and transformed by this Son of God. As St. Paul tells us at this time of the year, do not be conformed to the present age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. As we approach Lent, and now just only a few days away, perhaps we might consider more strongly or purposefully in what ways we will be transformed in this holy season. Perhaps we might not see Lent as something to check off a list, or as some kind of Roman's way, a period of the year in which we look at our sins and we're sorry for them and realize that we've been bad and that God will be glad if we would just simply repent. That sort of approach isn't perhaps terrible and has its way of thinking in the scriptures, but it is somewhat childish, and it's certainly never enough. To be sure, we should be familiar with the Lenten exhortation to real repentance, a true taking up of the cross, a real spiritual confrontation with the sin that is in our lives and the sins that we struggle with. But Lent, in one sense, and don't mishear me, is more properly concerned with things beyond the sins that we struggle with. Lent is more properly concerned with death and resurrection. It is concerned with Jesus' death and resurrection. But it very much follows that the season of Lent is concerned with our own death and resurrection, our own spiritual transformation, the healing not simply of our sins, what we call forgiveness, but the full and total healing of our souls. What we can say is that our spiritual transformation, the renewal of our minds in conformity to the very Word of God, is a transformation, because it is a death and resurrection, a healing of our souls that takes place within the Church's sacramental life. As such, between Epiphany and Lent, the Church sees fit to devote 3 Sundays to preparing ourselves for Lent's call to repentance and transformation. These Sundays are sometimes together called pre-Lent, but individually they have older Latin names, Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima, the 70th, 60th, and 50th days approximately before Easter. This evening we observe Quinquagesima. As I've said, these 3 weeks before Lent are really meant to prepare us to undertake the journey, the labor, the pilgrimage, or the discipline of Lent, such that true fruit might be born in our lives. It's a call to transformation. Now, I suppose you might be thinking, why? Isn't it somewhat a bit silly, a point of liturgical eccentricity or minutia? What's the point of pre-Lent? Don't we have the season of Lent as it is? Well, I'll put it to you this way. It really does us no good to take up Lent if we have no idea why we're taking it up in the first place. Now you might stop and say, well, I know why I'm taking up Lent. It's to prepare for Easter. But what exactly does that mean? And in the end, planning, I suppose, isn't a bad thing, or I would hope. And even more so, the structure and the readings for these 3 Sundays are meant to help us with respect to what it is that we will be taking up in the season of Lent. On the first Sunday of pre-Lent, you might remember that we were reminded in the epistle to be like athletes, competing in a struggle, athletes in training, temperate in all things, not to be aimless but disciplined, as St. Paul asks of us. The gospel for that Sunday then likened us to workers, workers in the vineyard. And so it mattered not whether we had come early in the morning or at midday or at the last 11th hour. We have a place, which meant we are meant to serve, to work, to be laborers, to be transformed by the gospel which justifies us. And while we labor, while we belong to the vineyard, we are provided for, perhaps even generously. Whether that hour be late or early, it matters not. The point is that we are called to work, to be transformed. This past Sunday's gospel lesson, the parable of the sower, reminded us that the seed of God's word has indeed been implanted in our hearts, and as such we should not let it perish by drought of neglect or willful sinning, nor let it be stolen by the devil's wiles, nor choked by thorns of worldly occupations. We should care for it, the gospel lesson indicated. We should attend to it. And this Sunday, this evening's lesson, sets all of this labor and discipline talk in the context of Christ's journey to Jerusalem, the healing of the blind man by the wayside. Here in this gospel, we see what will happen in Lent when we attend to the word of God. We are healed. We may not be healed in the sense physically, in the way the gospel is indicating, but that misses the point. There is a total healing. Physical healing is only part of that. And so to put this gospel lesson immediately before Lent is to show us precisely what it is that the disciplines of Lent will show us in light of the resurrection. That our eyes too will be opened, that we too will understand, that Jesus, the Son of David, will show mercy on us and save us, which means that he will heal us. And the epistle then told us of that more excellent way of healing. It showed us the form of that healing, of love. The epistle told of that more excellent way of love and service, namely that it must be the character of our own life, our own journey, for without that all our labors will be nothing, only sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, as St. Paul put it. Now, as Lutherans, we might stop and ask, does not all this talk of labor and discipline distract from grace, distract from forgiveness that is shown to us at the cross? Isn't Lent not about us, but about God? Is not this language of the law and not the gospel? Well, those questions really are not helpful, because perhaps you might consider labor, obedience, and discipline language according to the gospel that has called you to it, according to our more familiar language of service and vocation. These Sundays before Lent are concerned with the transformation of our lives, our minds, the renewal that takes place through sanctification, through love and service. We are not talking specifically about justification at this point. Christmas and Epiphany have told us that we are heirs to the great promises of God made manifest in the Son of God. We are children of God by adoption. We are partakers of God's divine nature, which means that we belong to him and so must be made holy. And so what this means is that we are to consider our life now as children, as heirs of promises made sure in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Rightly understood, then, discipline and labor, love and service follow from and with the transformation and renewal of our lives, our minds, the renewal of the call of the gospel. These preparatory weeks, these three past weeks, therefore introduce Lent as a journey, as a pilgrimage, as a labor, an exercise in growth to spiritual maturity, a putting off of childish things, as St. Paul asked of us this evening, a struggle to follow Christ through suffering to risen life, true life. Spiritual maturity is indeed for each one of us a struggle to wean ourselves from our distractions, our misguided attention, our worldliness, to attain to a liberty of spirit which is not subservient to whims or appetites or vain imaginings or dullness, but rather weighs and judges all things by the word of God made manifest in Jesus Christ. The lessons for these past 3 weeks challenge us to undertake with some reflection the call to Lent's transformation of the renewal of our minds and our lives with disciplined attention. Not, as St. Paul said to us, as runners uncertain of the course, not as fighters striking randomly at thin air, but rather as those who are called by the word of God, those who are attentive to the word of God, the word which kills and brings to life, but also that very word of life which exhorts, instructs, admonishes, and encourages us. We are to be attentive to God's grace shown to us because we have been made heirs of eternal promises, of divine grace, which then means we are called to labor earnestly in the vineyard of the Spirit, now, even if it be the last or the 11th hour, because we belong to that word. To be sure, our service, our labor, our discipline in the vineyard of God will have its joys and it will have its sorrows. We must come to understand that as we grow in spiritual maturity. The Lord imparts crosses and blessings according to what is best for us and our growth and our holiness. But what is best for us is to work in the vineyard, to conform to the cross, such that our hearts and minds would not grow cold and hard, but be transformed by the gospel. Spiritual maturity would have us see that we are safe and are provided for even in a confusing time or a confusing age. Spiritual maturity would have us see and believe and know that God has indeed prepared a banquet for us, an eternal banquet, but of course he provides for us while we are on the way. And spiritual maturity would have us see that God will do what is best and according to his good and gracious will, that even through the death and resurrection of his Son, we are right now already being made new on this side of glory, that we're already being made new, that our hearts are already being made new, that they are being transformed and transfigured by divine love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.